Talkback with Gary Null, Sundays at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Oh, a happy day.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. We are at the center of looking for ways to live longer and healthier lives. There are thousands of outstanding articles written in peer-reviewed scientific literature journals each month. The trouble is that very few of these ever get disseminated to the general public. And almost never is there any real reporting on issues that could fundamentally change how we see our lives, the people in power. For example, rarely do you have studies from the mainstream media that shows that most of our science, if it is proprietary, meaning a corporation publishes, cannot be trusted. Last year alone, more than 800 studies were shown to be fraudulent. And yet, that never becomes a study. It never becomes a talking point on the mainstream media, because who are those people advertising on 60 Minutes? I just saw a piece tonight when they were talking with Julian Assange. And what was remarkable was at no point in that interview did the reporter ever acknowledge the long-sordid history of every major governmental agency engaging in deception, lies, and acts that were not only unconstitutional but illegal, talking about how our Justice Department was looking into whether or not Julian Assange committed crimes. But the same State Department, under Eric Holder, could not find the confidence or courage to look into the proven and completely provable illegal actions of the Bush administration. Whether it was Karl Rove and dismissing U.S. attorneys for political reasons, or getting us into a war in Iraq that we should not have gotten in, and they got us in because they had their own agenda. No, they won't touch that. But someone who allows a freedom of speech by disseminating information and allowing us to make up our mind, if we choose to believe it or not, in its significance, oh, that's a crime. Well, what about the 1,900 separate occasions that the Pentagon admitted on the record 30 years after the event that it tested human beings in the United States by giving them radiation exposure without their knowledge or consent, including children in hospitals given low-level radiation on toast to see what it would do to their kidneys? Wouldn't you imagine that that would be something that would call for a special investigation? Who were the hospitals? Now, I've published a lot of that over the years in my own special investigative reports. In fact, I was the first major story to be broken in October 1989. It's up on my website. It was one of about 55 cover stories that I did, where no one had touched how the government routinely tests things, whether it's chemtrails or other things, on humans without their, Americans without their permission. No one's ever been brought to justice, not once. So here's a man from 60 Minutes challenging the integrity of a man who has never released documents that did not show that the United States has lied to its citizens, lied to others, and engaged in illegal and immoral acts. Yeah, that is the problem. And, quote, Americans, as he said, well, which Americans is he referring to? All the independent and progressive-minded people in the world who think it's a good thing to expose corruptions and omissions of the truth? or is it just some non-thinking reactionary who says, yeah, don't let any information, bad as it could be, about our government out? Well, it's unfortunate that in and of itself it was just a shoddy piece of questioning on the part of 60 Minutes, and not once acknowledging that what he's doing may be a valid issue, and especially taking to task the fact that when Assange says what he's doing is truly based upon what the Founding Fathers did, he's right, and I've stated on the record that if our Founding Fathers, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and Benjamin Franklin, were around today, they would all be in prison. They would all be in a terrorist watch. They would all be considered dangerous to the sovereignty of corporate power and a corrupt government. Wasn't it James Madison who gave the idea of having three separate parts of government to keep balance on each other, and yet didn't the Democrats just control all three? And before, didn't the Republicans for almost 6 years control three and then two of the three? There is no balance of power. And what power does the corporation have over even this? Total power. Do you think that the people founded our Constitution and Bill of Rights, the Anti-Federalists, do you think they would have tolerated what is going on today with the usurpation of power by corporatists? Not for a second. We are in an intellectual vacuum, a moral vacuum, and a conscious vacuum. We seem not to want to know the truth. And that's why we do the program we do each day. This program today is about your issues, your questions, your concerns, your thoughts on any of the things that you've heard on any of the programs, or any of the things that you believe could help you. Today, it's all about you. No guest, just you. Later in the program, Dr. Martin Feldman will be giving us some new information on diabetes and manganese. We're trying to take some nutrients people have heard about but really don't know anything about and trying to make it more understandable. Also, I'll be doing an in-depth discussion about how to normalize your blood sugar levels with nutrients. And this is from Alonzo Brody, Life Extension. I'm also going to be giving you the latest information on cinnamon, and then, time permitting, a commentary on what happened to downtime, the extinction of deep thinking and sacred space. This is from Scott Belsky, and we'll share that with you. Always interested in hearing what you have to say. I have a phenomenal lineup this week on a wide range of issues with some of the best minds in the world. Now, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I will be giving a commentary on what I believe are the mistakes and omissions and just the foolishness of the commentaries from MSNBC to Fox, CNN. I've been watching the events in Egypt, and I believe they've all got it wrong. And I believe that there is a much deeper understanding of what's happening, but you have to have a knowledge of history, of geography, of political science, and of understanding people. And I believe that all these people are out of touch. These are the same people who didn't see the crisis, the bubbles coming in the United States 2.5 years ago, and yet they profess themselves to be knowledgeable and have talking heads on who didn't see it. Well, we'll give you a different insight into the whole Middle East, into the Far East, and what this even means for America tomorrow at 3 p.m. Let's go to the latest on health and healing. Vitamin D at higher levels can lower our risk of bladder cancer. And everything I cite is always from a mainstream peer-reviewed journal. This is from the journal Cancer Research. And what it shows is that when they looked at 500 participants in the alpha-tocopherol beta-carotene cancer prevention study, they found that those who had the highest amount of alpha-tocopherol and beta-carotene had the lowest risk of cancer. Statistically, a substantial 73% adjusted risk of disease than those that had less. Quote, these findings are consistent with previous cell culture, in vivo, and genetic evidence suggesting that greater exposure to vitamin D could have a role in protecting against bladder cancer. I suggest 2,000 to 3,000 units a day of vitamin D3. On the subject of nutrients, magnesium protects women against sudden cardiac death. And by the way, contrary to people's misconception, most of the death in women with heart attacks or strokes is instant. There's no signs, no warning. It's just, it happens. Well, according to the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and this is based upon the 88,000 women enrolled in the Nurses' Health Study for 26 years, they found that the greater intake of magnesium and higher plasma magnesium levels, the most reduced risk of sudden cardiac death was shown. I suggest that women have 1,000 milligrams a day of magnesium from citrate, and that would help prevent sudden death from all forms of heart disease. One more reason to use olive oil, and that's according to the Journal of Nutrition and Metabolism. They found that in experiments carried out on a group of laboratory rats at the University of Monastir in Tunisia, they found that olive oil protected the liver from oxidative stress. It was interesting, earlier this week on Thursday, I played a clip of the man who won the Nobel Prize last year for discovering the HIV virus, Luc Montagnier. And he stated several times that oxidative stress is the real culprit in AIDS, and AIDS-defining illnesses, but in a lot of other illnesses, and that when you give a person clean water and good food and treat them for their underlying illnesses and give them a lot of antioxidants, that you can either prevent HIV from replicating and or you can destroy HIV in the body. Now, I said at the time, and the reason I used that particular clip was to show that the most important figure in the history of AIDS, the entire paradigm is based upon his work, has now in effect refuted everything that we've been told as far as its diagnosing and treatment. That means that the pharmaceutical companies that are making hundreds of millions of dollars per drug, hundreds of billions of dollars collectively, the foundations, all the AIDS groups, they get it all wrong. He's saying oxidative stress. Well, you mean if I took vitamin C and vitamin E and beta carotene and berries and good food? Yeah, that could reduce oxidative stress. Anything that can quench free radicals reduces oxidative stress. Well, that's not something they're going on here, and I stated that they will now go after him. They will try to destroy him. Now, nowhere in the American media, nowhere, not on television, radio, newspapers, magazines, did that statement that he made that you heard exclusively on my program, was that played anywhere? No? Why? Because then what are you going to do with all those drugs? And the Gates Foundation giving all those drugs to people in Africa, highly toxic drugs. And the number one cause of death today is liver failure in persons with AIDS. The trouble is, of the 30 AIDS-defining illnesses, liver failure is not one of them. Liver failure comes from taking the drugs. So what we're saying is that Bill Gates, Melinda Gates, you are killing untold tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people by giving them drugs instead of giving them clean water, antioxidants, good food, and actual medications for their tuberculosis, malaria, schistosomiasis. And you would think that all the people in our medical community would finally get this. You would think that some of the really misdirected activists would just be honest, but they can't be because they've so tied themselves egotistically, politically, ideologically to the idea that HIV causes AIDS. When you have it, you're going to die. You can't get rid of the virus. It'll be there for the rest of your life. You better take these drugs. If you don't take the drugs, you're definitely going to die. And that's their paradigm. Now here's the man who invented it all. The man who discovered it, the man who won the Nobel Prize, saying, no, you just reduce oxidative stress and you take your antioxidants and you can prevent it from happening. Well, boy, that flies in the face that it's sexually transmitted. By the way, just for those of you who care about science, and I realize some of you in ACT UP do and some don't, And some of you have aligned yourself with the radicalized politics of true believers, just like the rapturist, except your rapturist views are, you know, rigid. I mean, beyond rigid. Titanium has more flexibility than the rigidity of your beliefs. But here is, it comes along, and it says, we've had an epidemic in syphilis, gonorrhea, herpes, papilloma, all these different chlamydia, especially in young teens, having unprotected sex. In adults, we don't have any sexual epidemic. Statistically speaking, I just look at the figures. But teens, yes. Well, if AIDS is sexually transmitted, then why haven't you seen AIDS as an epidemic in those same people? So if you're saying that you can get syphilis and gonorrhea easily, sexually unprotected, but you're not getting HIV, and that's in all the sexual journals, then doesn't that tell you that the number one way of spreading AIDS by sex, that's all a lie, it's a myth. But when the first man who went on the record to say that, out in California, the man who discovered the protease inhibitors used in fighting the war on AIDS, when he said that there is no proof that it's sexually transmitted, and he had the actual evidence, they checked the semen of a group of men, 22 men who died of full-blown AIDS, they couldn't find the HIV in their semen. Well, how can you die of full-blown AIDS and they can't find the HIV in your semen? Because it's not sexually transmitted. But that is heresy to say that. So in our so-called democratic society, we have no democracy in talking about cancer, mental illness, AIDS, inflammatory conditions like arthritis, preventative medicine. You can't, there's no debate. There's only one side. Anyone who goes off script is thrown out of the system. And that's why I believe that they will literally, you'll see it in public view in the next 24 months. You'll see the complete destruction of the reputation of Luc Montagnier. His Nobel Prize will have been no more valuable to him than Linus Pauling's was when they destroyed Linus Pauling. Or the greatest scientist in American history. Do you know who that was? There's no scientist ever been as cited as this scientist. He was both a lawyer and a physician. He was also vice president of academic affairs at University of Illinois. Who was he? Dr. Andrew Ivey. Want to read something interesting? Read the story of Andrew Ivey and how the AMA and a man who was treasury of the AMA went about destroying Andrew Ivey in order to try to get his hands on a cancer cure called crebiosin, and how then they had to destroy the reputation of crebiosin in order to get all the people associated with it away from it so they could take it for themselves. It didn't work. They didn't get the formula, but they did destroy all the people's reputations, including the greatest scientist in American history. So we have a long record of going after people that speak out. We have no democracy in science or health or environmental issues. But olive oil protects your liver nonetheless from oxidative stress. Leukemia patients with insufficient vitamin D face earlier death risks. This was reported in the peer-reviewed journal Blood in reviews that when you have too little vitamin D and you suffer from chronic lymphocytic leukemia, then you're going to die sooner. But on the other side of that is that if you have adequate amounts, you're going to live longer. So that's good information. And here's a good one to prevent all forms of cancer. This was reported in Nutrition and Cancer. A major study done in Milan, and they looked at 7 types of deadly cancer. And they said, what will help a person lower their risk? They looked at 9,600 cases of cancer and compared them to 16,000 controls. And they found that you want to live longer? There are 6 classes of flavonoids including the ones I talk about all the time. Isoflavones, that's soy. Anthocyanidins, that's grapes. Flavanols, flavones, and flavanols. All six you can get in your berries, blueberries, blackberries, tart cherries, pomegranate, goji berries. That's how you protect yourself. So now, quote, the findings from this large network of Italian case-controlled studies have provided support for an apparent protective role of flavones on upper tract cancers, flavanols, and anthocyanidins and proanthocyanidins on colorectal cancer. And then they went through that all these are the renal cancer and ovarian cancer and breast cancer. So if you're eating your fruits and vegetables or taking juices or taking powders, you are increasing the probability of not getting cancer. Also, cardiac fat oxidation aided by olive oil components. Quote, a team of researchers from Sao Paulo State University in Brazil recently published a study in Nutrition Journal that tested the effectiveness of olive oil in intervention in preventive medicine in regards to obesity-induced cardiac metabolic changes. The study involved, and then it went on to talk about it. So if you're having olive oil, you're reducing the risks of being overweight and the effect of that overweight on your heart. And finally, I've talked about curcumin many times. Curcumin, C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N, is the really very good nutrient that's in turmeric. When you make curry, that is what you're getting, but you're not getting a lot of it. So I recommend that people get it just as a supplement, like 400, 800 units a day, milligrams a day. Well, this is a study performed at St. Louis University, and it showed that curcumin has a lot of promise in preventing or treating liver damage from what is known as a fatty liver disease, which is very common. And it's been used for thousands of years. And the research specifically points to curcumin juice as a potential weapon in the battle against a type of fatty liver disease called non-alcoholic liver disease. Generally, people are overweight and they get this. So that's good news. Take your curcumin. Now, I mentioned earlier cinnamon. Here's the latest on cinnamon. And this is according to a study from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the chief chemist Richard Anderson. It says cinnamon extract could help reduce diabetes and heart disease risk factors. So if you're overweight or you have heart disease, I suggest taking cinnamon in a health drink, or in maybe a cereal. But you can also get cinnamon oil, which is very, very good and much more powerful. And they're very good on digestion. And take one or two of the cinnamon capsules, little capsules, each day after a meal. So that would do a lot of good for you, especially if you have elevated blood sugar. Fish oils can help fight diabetes. The Journal of Nutritional Biochemistry showed specifically that fish oil would help reduce the effects of diabetes. So take your fish oil, 1,500 milligrams a day. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment, and then we're going to take on what happened to downtime, the extinction of deep thinking and sacred space. And I will at that point be taking on calls. Please feel free to call from anywhere in North America on our toll-free number at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. You're listening to the number one program in America for open, independent, and progressive-minded people.
One ticket, please. Now I'm going to see everybody's here. Hey, what's going on, man? Yeah, she's at home. Yeah, she's at home. Yeah, she's at home.
Let the music play. I just want to dance the night away. Yeah, right here where I'm gonna stay. Let the music play on.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Just to give you an idea of some of the upcoming in-depth original investigative reporting, AIDS, a two-hour special with scientists, Nobel Prize winners. Right now we have three Nobel Prize winners lined up for this one show, and I'm breaking it into different hours to show you all the different perspectives of what we have been misled about AIDS. Also, one special, two-hour special, will be nothing but long-term survivors who are not using AZT or the prettiest cocktails, using natural techniques, who are alive and well, and whose immune system is completely normal. Thus far, we have 20 lined up for just that show. Also, we have another show where AIDS journalists, both straight and gay, who have been attacked and ridiculed and deprived of forums because they came out with research from their own independent investigations showed that what we've been told about AIDS, the politics of it and everything else, are lies, and so they don't want this information to get out. So just hearing journalists across the board. So we have a lot of interesting takes on that. Then the newest information on autism, specifically, a lot of people who are completely normal today who had full-blown autism. This should make really important news because we're having many of their parents who are themselves medical doctors, including one who's a chairman of a department of pediatrics at a major university, whose own son for 7 years was fully autistic and today is completely normal. Why aren't these stories in the mainstream media? Why hasn't 60 Minutes done a piece on this? What are they afraid of? Once again, if you show that the paradigm that we're working from is wrong, it could shift support for a different paradigm. Oh, you mean you can normalize someone? We were told you couldn't. We just need to spend more money on drugs. We had to support the pharmaceutical companies. We had to support those foundations that have nice autism names in it, parents' organizations, to get their money from pharmaceutical companies. So the parents are pro-vaccine and pro-pharmaceutical approaches for autism. So don't for a second think that everyone who's out there on the war on autism is of the same mind that the vaccines or other factors contributed and a natural approach would work. Those people are not getting any attention or media, with the exception of Jeanne McCarthy, but only because she was dating Jim Carrey and had his support. Because if you're not a celebrity in the United States, who's going to have you on there? Would Larry King have had it just a regular person on the air? He might say yes, but why didn't you up to that point? I remember the day that Bill Cosby called me, and he said, Gary, I want some people, I just watched your film, and I want some people I know to know about this. Are you sure about this? And I said, I'm very sure, Bill. And he said, okay. So he said, I'm going to have the head of NBC, Bob Wright, call you in the next 5 minutes. Well, sure enough, within 5 minutes, Bob Wright of NBC called. And he said, are you sure that, you know, it's real that you can help kids with autism using natural techniques to normalize? I said, yes, it is. He said, in 5 minutes, I'm going to have the head of this Autism Foundation called. So sure enough, in 5 minutes, this guy called. And I told him the same thing. Not once did Bob Wright or the head of that foundation want to speak with any of the hundreds, over 500 parents whose children are proof of that. And then I found out that Bob Wright was going to be speaking at the United Nations. So I took my camera crew and we went over there and I got our permit and I was up in the booth. I was the only one filming him. And we waited and waited and waited, all the other speakers, and then he gets up there. Not once did he talk about a natural approach for autism. Not once did he connect the vaccine. I thought, that's strange. So I went downstairs and we ran across the floor. Just as you would have laughed at this. I mean, here we were running with a big, heavy, high-def camera. And we run over to the door and get between him and the door just as he and his wife were leaving. And I said, is it not true that your son's son is being treated holistically at a clinic in Dallas? Well, yeah. Well, why didn't you talk about that? All bup, bup, and just nothing but spin. But we're going to be more open to that. Well, he hasn't been. Why? Because the money comes to you if you got a foundation, if you promote a pharmaceutical drug approach. If you promote a natural approach, it doesn't. So the next time I spoke with Bill Cosby, and It was after Bill had watched another film of mine, The Drugging of Our Children, he called. And I just that morning saw that he was on television. He was going to appear in Washington, D.C. that evening, talking with school kids and their teachers. I said, you know, you could go down to Washington and go in there and tell them about what you normally do, which I believe, you know, moral values. And I said, but why not make a difference and take a look at their diet and look at the things in their diet that could be causing these kids to overreact, bounce off the wall with sugar, caffeine, artificial flavors that they're sensitive to. And he thought about that. Well, that night in the news, sure enough, that's what he talked about. Now, he's a opinion leader. People respect his opinion. And see, he can make a difference. But you need a policymaker for anything to actually take hold and change. Opinion leaders get the message out. Policymakers are the ones who have the control to shift the paradigm. And thus far, we don't have policymakers who can shift the paradigm. All the policymakers work together, like the Bill Gates, that a drug is the answer. No, it's not. It was just a thought I had on this. Let's take a moment before we go to my commentary. We have a lot of people on hold now. Please be a little patient. We'll get to all of you. Our number is 888-874-4888. Let's say hello to Ken in New Jersey. Hi, Ken. You're on the air.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Doing great.
Excellent. Well, right now, currently, you have a support group going on East 92nd Street, behavior modification, and you've employed a buddy system with Marie McGovern and myself. I just want to give you a little update on how that's gone from my perspective.
Sure. Well, why don't you give them a little background on yourself first so they can appreciate the significance of your helping others.
Okay. Well, approximately 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and about a year and a half to 2 years later, I'm going to say, I've had that diagnosis reversed, completely reversed. My health and my entire life has taken a complete turnaround on every level, and it's all good things. And
do you have the diagnosis of multiple sclerosis today?
Oh, I do not.
Okay, your neurologist, your medical tests show you have none of the symptoms, none of the lesions. Now,
nope.
Do you know of anyone else in the United States who had full-blown multiple sclerosis who has it reversed?
Not personally.
Have you looked in the scientific literature to see if there's anything in there?
I have not.
Okay.
I've not taken a look.
I have. Outside of going into remissions, which will stay for a while, then it goes back, it is a continually deteriorating condition. And I think it's worth noting for people in this audience, when you hear that someone has reversed a condition that was considered otherwise irreversible, maybe we ought to pay a little attention and see what that protocol is. Now, you're working with Marie McGovern. Do you want to tell a little bit about Marie McGovern?
Now, Marie McGovern was diagnosed with the Alzheimer's, and I remember her from the first group that I was in with her. And I mean, not only was she always sweating profusely, but I mean, she really couldn't do much of anything on her own. She needed assistance with nearly everything. But today she's a completely different person. She doesn't need assistance with anything at all. She's quite well and able to do, you know, everything that she needs to do. And anyone that I talk to about the Gary Null protocol and I speak about Maureen McGovern, everyone's just amazed because I say this is a woman that needed assistance with everything. And, you know, today is taking advanced computer classes. And my question is always, well, how many people do you know that have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's that have been able to make that leap from one end of that spectrum to where Marie McGovern is today?
She had advanced end-stage Alzheimer's. She could not help herself. She was going into a home out somewhere in Illinois, Indiana, for people who can no longer help themselves, cannot, because they don't know how to feed themselves, they can't take care of themselves, they can't shop, they can't work, they can't read. And she had been helped to learn to read at a three-year-old level, like Dick and Jane go up the hill. And this was a scholar from New York University who had worked with Lloyd's of London and other foundations to procure masterwork art. She was a scholar in art, and now she couldn't even read. She'd look at a painting and just see color. Today, she's a completely normal person. You would think that somewhere we would find someone who was interested. In fact, indeed, I invited Marie McGovern and the young boy whose autism is totally gone. He's normal. Jonathan Ortega, whose parents are both New York City police officers. And they all came down to an international symposium of scientists where I was a keynote speaker based upon a clinical study I just done. This is just 2 years ago. And normally you read these very boring scientific reports, and everybody's sleeping, 7,000 people in a room snoring while someone reads a stupid report. So I said, instead of doing my normal, report, I thought it'd be more interesting to show you real human beings. And I brought out three people, including Jonathan Ortega, who was going to be institutionalized because he was too big and too old to be kept at home. He was a danger to himself and others, and now he's completely normal, and he told his story. And then Marie McGovern, who came out and articulated her story. Well, right after that, we went out into this hallway, and I'm going to guess 600 or 700 of the participants, scientists from all over the world in anti-aging medicine, came out to talk with them. And I said, if anyone wants any further information on protocols, please contact me. I never got a single call. So even though they were fascinated by something they had never seen in their entire careers, from Harvard and Yale and all these other places, not once. And here were three people who had reversed conditions and were normal. And they saw, and they had a chance to speak with them. And I had it right there. No one dared go from their curiosity in the moment to wanting to challenge their own paradigm, because what if all their money every year recycled back into them came from looking for stem cells? So, in fact, one of my comments was that I don't have to find how to alter a stem cell to help someone. Here's people that have been helped. But it wasn't a lack of intellectual curiosity or scientific curiosity, it was fear. Fear limits the choices you make in life, always. And the more fear you have, the less choices you're going to make. And if you make choices from fear, they're ultimately going to be the wrong choices. So please go ahead and tell us about your buddy system.
Okay, well, as you were just saying, how they were completely astounded and amazed with Marie McGovern and the other people that you brought over there, no one called you up after that. I wonder if any of that has to do with before, and like most people when they first step into the protocol, before you can really make that first step, you have to first be able to admit to yourself that what you've been doing up to that point wasn't exactly the best thing. And for a lot of people, I know that's a very difficult first step to make. Now, when people call me up from all over the country, the first question that they always ask me is, well, what's my secret? And I always reply, it's not my secret. I don't have a secret. It's the Gary Null protocol, and you have to do every piece that's on it. You can't pick and choose which part you want to do or which part you don't want to do. If the protocol says you have to do X, Y, and Z, well, guess what? You have to do X, Y, and Z. And I would ask, well, okay, well, are you doing this? Are you doing that? Are you decluttering? Are you, have you removed any mercury fillings out of your mouth? Just to name a few. And a lot of times people would also say, well, I've tried that, but that didn't work. I said, well, did you try the three other things that helped, that one thing that you've tried that didn't work that actually helped to make it work? And usually the answer is, no, I haven't tried all that. I said, well, that's the thing with the protocol and the holistic approach is it's just everything working synergistically with each other. And you have to do everything, because if you miss one piece of the equation, really you don't know what results you can get. And one thing that I say is that you've tried it one way for however many years you're alive, and you've done it full tilt, 100%. So if you want to give this a try and give it a fair comparison and really compare apples to apples, then you have to do this 100%, just as you would your old lifestyle or the way you've done things. You've done that 100%, and it's gotten you a certain result. Well, if you want a different result, well, this is what you have to do. And that's easy enough for people to wrap their minds around, because once you realize you have to do everything that's on the protocol, it takes out all the thinking. You don't have to think about it. The protocol has very specific instructions. You follow it. You don't even have to think about it, and everything else takes care of itself. What I've found that people really have the most, most difficult time with, and I don't always bring this up with some people, but the hardest thing, and I think a real important part of it, is people really, what they really need to do is figure out and do a little bit of soul searching and a little bit of paying attention to themselves to figure out what they might be doing that might be making them get in their own way of their own healing, whether it be conditioning or thoughts or what have you. And that's the hardest part that I found speaking with people, for them to really, get past and trying to figure out, okay, well, where do I go? And I know you have the DVD, Overcoming the Dark Side, and that's a great one. I always recommend that. But I feel that's a real essential part of the protocol right there. And really, that's been my experience up to this point, speaking with people on the phone. And there's one woman in New York where hopefully my wife and myself will be able to get down there and help her out, because she needs to go on some job interviews, but, she needs some help picking out some clothes. So, I need to extend myself out a little bit and do some of that. But outside of that, there's your update on the buddy system and where I've been with it.
Good. Thank you very much, Kenny. I appreciate it. And I'll be coming into New Jersey within the next 3 weeks. We have two more meetings of our health support group in a school in Newark, where all the faculty and the directors of the school, all the students, and all the parents are all on the protocol. And the results thus far have really been terrific. Just absolutely terrific. Weight loss, blood pressure coming down, diabetes symptoms clearing up. And if we can do this in one school, imagine then what that message is for all the other schools in the United States. Let's say hello to Laura from New Jersey. Hi, Laura.
Yes. Yes, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura. How can we help you?
Okay. First, I just want to give a testimony for people to listen, because thanks to you, Gary Knoll, my husband was able to give me some information about a terrible rash that I had for almost 4 years that nothing can be cured. I went to five different skin doctors, tried different medicines, and they did a biopsy, and they told me it was from my nerves. It was dermatitis from my nerves. And the doctor told me, that's what I have. And I asked him what I can do. He said, well, I'm going to give you this cream. And I told him, I already got this cream and 5-7 creams. Nothing cured me. My husband was coming home, and he was listening to your station by coincidence. And you were saying something about this farmer that was curing the horses with honey. And you suggested that if you have a problem with your skin, you put honey and vitamin E. And I did that. He called me, and I did that right away. I did it for 15 days. I wrapped it around with both, with honey and vitamin E. And up to this day, I don't have nothing on my leg. That's a testimony I want to give for everybody to listen, because you have helped me with that.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad that you called
and now I have a question. I have a problem under my ears. I don't know if are my glands. I don't know what is in there, but they all were swollen, and it gives me a lot of pain. And I also have it in my inner upper area of my legs, And it, I don't know if it's lymphatic glands, or I don't know if you have a protocol for lymphatic glands.
Sure, of course I do. First, understand that the body has a lymphatic system that takes dead debris and viruses and bacteria in its fluid, and it washes it out of the system. And so you want to keep your lymphatic glands healthy and keep the system moving. And that's why doing some just light aerobic exercise each day, power walking, is a great way to stimulate the lymphatic system. Also, you can get lymphatic massage specifically to stimulate the lymphatic system in case there's any backup. But then the question is, what could be in the system that could be causing the lymphatic systems to swell to begin with? You can have viruses, you can have bacteria, parasites, but mainly viruses and bacteria, or local inflammation. And so what do we do? Well, then we have to look at an infection in the lymphatic system. And with any infection, there's several ways of approaching it. One way that I approach any form of infection is infection leads to inflammation. So you want to turn off the inflammation, and at the same time, you want to reduce the pro-inflammatory agents, cytokines, tumor necrosis factors, free radicals. So the omega-3 fatty acids play a major role in breaking up inflammatory processes, including in the lymphatic system. And flaxseed oil, 1 tablespoon in the morning with 1 tablespoon of raw organic coconut oil together, and you put that into a blender. Now, at the same time, you should throw some berries, raspberries, strawberries, blackberries, blueberries, cherries, fresh. If you don't have it fresh, then concentrate. You can buy in a health food store. But please don't buy things from Whole Foods. I'm asking my audience to boycott Whole Foods because Whole Foods, even though it's now a $7 billion a year company, has sold its soul. There's no integrity with Whole Foods, nor Mackey, its founder. And because they bought stuff from China and labeled it organic from California, but they were caught doing that. And they only buy a tiny amount of organic. And the way they merchandise their stuff in there, they just merchandise anything they can sell. They don't care about the integrity. Anyhow, and I've invited him on my show to debate this issue, because every time a Whole Foods opens, all the small health food stores that could be there as a, and have been, run with integrity, are all put out of business. So we have these monolithic Walmarts for foods, what all it is. And now they're agreeing that they're not going to oppose genetic engineering of food. In other words, they're going to saddle right up beside Monsanto. So anyhow, don't shop in Whole Foods. Now then give yourself some natural probiotics, the good bacteria, 3 times a day. Like a quarter teaspoon. So you get about 15 billion good bacteria in your body. Then vitamin C, zinc, and B complex are also good for any form of infection. Also, I would use olive leaf extract, 1,000 milligrams, and B propolis in tincture form, and colloidal silver in tincture form at about 200 parts per million, and wild oregano oil in tincture form. Now, then I would also use the homeopathic remedy belladonna, and also ferrum phosphoricum. That's ferrum phosphoricum. And if that doesn't work, then pulsatilla, P-U-L-S-A-T-I-L-L-A. I would also use some intravenous ozone therapy, because that is phenomenal for knocking out any form of infection within the lymphatic system, because it goes into the whole lymphatic system, and it will knock out bacteria and viruses in particular. So those things that I would use, and there's a Dr. Howard Robbins who is probably the best at doing intravenous ozone treatment. All the best to you, Laura. Thank you very much for calling. I'm Gary Nall. Let's go over now and say hello to Dr. Martin Feldman, who's standing by, and Dr. Feldman is a board-certified physician. He is here to talk about manganese. Hi, Marty.
Hi, Gary. Manganese doesn't have much respect. Again, it is not magnesium. It's manganese. It's different than magnesium. Totally different. And many people are confused about that. Anyway, who needs it? A lot of us need it if you have connective tissue problems, especially carpal tunnel, ligament and tendon joint problems, pancreatic enzyme issues, low glucose, hypoglycemia, or high glucose diabetes. If you have need of a lot of antioxidant repair, antioxidant SOD is made partially from manganese. So those are people who need it. Where do we get it in foods? Whole grains, nuts, seeds, leafy green vegetables. Those are the best sources of manganese. Now, eating refined instead of whole grains can reduce the dietary manganese content by more than 50%, so we don't want to have refined anything. The amount of manganese in the soil, and thus in each plant, is very, very variable. And the vegetarians do better with manganese than do people who are not. The vegetarians have a higher level of manganese in their diet than the non-vegetarians, so that's one good aspect of vegetarianism. Now, when I say it doesn't get much respect, there are a few little things in the background. Here's what's called the Food and Nutrition Board of the Institute of Medicine, which makes the what we call USRDAs. In their stupidity, they're saying there is no RDA for manganese. They sort of abdicate. However, they say you can have just an adequate intake level of 2.3 milligrams a day per man, 1.8 milligrams a day for females. That's a very low amount, and I think it's very understated, and I think we need more. What about preparations of manganese available commercially? Well, there are quite a few. Manganese aspartate, manganese gluconate, manganese citrate, and manganese amino acid chelate. Most of them are very, very good. Just a matter of which one you may hook up with first. With any mineral, you must look at the elemental dose, not on just the total amount of the complex. For example, if it's manganese citrate, it's a certain amount of total manganese citrate, but the key is the amount of manganese in the complex. The elemental dose is key. We want to look at two main issues regarding higher manganese needs. First off would be carpal tunnel syndrome. Carpal tunnel is a very, very bad, disagreeable symptom. It is a neuropathy. It's a nerve problem caused by compression of the median nerve at the wrist, and it causes troubles with the hand, pain, numbness, weakness of the hand. And who gets that? Well, some of the risk factors for people who get the carpal tunnel are people who have typing or playing a musical instrument, who have repetitive strain, typing or musical instrument, anything of that nature, computer, mouse even. Diabetes gives you a higher amount of potential carpal tunnel, hypothyroid, and pregnancy. Now, unfortunately, out there today, the main treatment for the carpal tunnel happens to be, first off, conventional drug therapy, nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which cause a lot of mischief in the body as a whole, and they may help a little bit with the symptoms, but in the long run, they're very, very destructive. Another therapy which is out there, wide use, is the injection of cortisone-type injections right into the nerve. And then the last thing would be wrist splinting, and beyond all that might be surgery. But we don't need to go that far because we have manganese as a hero for carpal tunnel. Dose, for that specific reason, therapeutic dose might be as high as 70 milligrams a day. Most physicians get a gas. They're used to 4 or 5 milligrams. Therapeutic dose for carpal tunnel, way up there. Maintenance dose, once it's kind of improving, maintenance can come down to 50 milligrams a day or even a little bit less if the person is doing well. However, there's a key factor with the manganese. You need also B6, vitamin B6. Again, therapeutic dose might be up to 150 milligrams per day, but not above 200. And again, if the carpal tunnel starts to, let's say, recede with the therapy, you can come down to maintenance dose of maybe 50 or even 100 milligrams of the B6. You reduce your B6 level. And then very important is in hypoglycemia, which is too low a blood sugar, or diabetes, which is a high blood sugar. And we look at glucose levels in a fasting blood test. You're above 95 on a fasting blood glucose level, you need manganese for sure. If you're above 125, that's true diabetes, then you need even more. So you might need dose depending on the severity of your glucose problem. But just for sort of a ballpark idea to get started, therapeutic dose 70 milligrams a day for, we'll say, anything above 100. And maintenance might be back down to 50. While we're at it, we might mention, in addition to manganese for the glucose control, the main simple, very, very effective, and very basic fundamental minerals would be chromium. Again, therapeutic dose might be up near 600 mcg, and then might be reduced with over time. And then zinc, 70, therapeutic, reduce over time. And last, B-complex, starting at 150, 300, maintenance, therapeutic, and you might come down with maintenance. So we got manganese out there for many purposes, doesn't get any respect. It should be honored, and it should be used a lot more than it is.
Marty, thank you very much. Dr. Martin Feldman is here to talk about the myths, and he is at 212-744-4413. And that brings us up to the end of another program. I want to thank everyone for listening. Let's go over right now, however, and say hello to Michael Rupert and the Lifeboat Hour following right here on the Progressive Radio Network. How are you today, Michael?
I'm good. I'm a little tired because Egypt has been occupying, I think, everybody's attention over the weekend. There's a lot of very amazing developments. We're going to talk about those tonight. We also have, like, an amazing guest, Tom Lindsley of the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund. The guy is actually stopping corporations in their tracks from taking water tables away and taking resources away and polluting local townships. He's got a very unique and very effective legal way to break break corporate personhood, and to and they're actually doing this. They are asserting the right of people in communities and townships to say no to big corporations. But more than that, he's got this great argument that I think really needs to catch some legs, which is the earth has rights. Isn't that great? The earth has rights.
That's terrific. What are you going to do about Egypt?
Well, I'm going to give an overview for what all the developments. Of course, I've written a lot about the Middle East over the years in my books, and I'm going to assess the situation. Basically, where I am with this is that I'm very excited and I'm very scared at the same time. It's like this could be really, really good, and it's also very, very dangerous. And what's clear is that none of the major powers and none of the old approach from the old paradigm really has a handle on what's happening here. This is truly a popular movement, and it's going to change the Middle East completely, and I think Saudi Arabia is probably the next place to go.
Which, no, it won't happen in Saudi Arabia, but I'll tell you what I've been doing. I've been watching it, and I think that the reporters are complete illiterates. Mm-hmm. For example, on Fox, they were talking about, it's a good thing to have Mubarak appoint Suleiman as vice president, and then they leave it there. Okay. Did you tell the world that since 1993, the man who they want now to lead Egypt, headed the feared Egyptian General Intelligence Service. Mm-hmm. He was the one personally responsible for all the rendition and waterboarding and torture and deaths. The tens of thousands of Egyptians are in the prison system there illegally with no habeas corpus, no right to a trial, and are tortured to death. That's the man that Fox... Not surprising. Do you ever ask yourself, how did Fox end up with Dick Morris? Remember his background?
Sure.
And remember Judith Miller, the New York Times, the woman who beat the drums for, and she's bad. And Oliver North, who was caught lying.
Oliver North's a felon.
Yeah, all these people end up in this sleazebag little operation. In any case, so they can't get anything right. And then I hear on the other side people joyously saying, well, isn't it great that Mohammed El-Baradei is now the reform leader? Oh, excuse me, did we forget something? Is this the same gentleman who is very loyal to a very powerful group in the world that has complete funding by the major war powers and has for a long time? I'm going to go into his background and especially why that we should be very concerned. Because the group that he's a part of has been behind an awful lot of these color revolutions, like in Georgia and the Ukraine and Yugoslavia.
Yes. Yeah, there's a parallel. But I think this is out of control.
To make him look. Now, this is not a color revolution. This, as you said, is completely legitimate. He is not legitimate. Anyone who belongs to an organization with Zinov Brzezinski, who is a globalist, and who Melinda and Bill Gates Foundation and George Soros and the Open Society Institute, and Soros serves on as a member of the organization's executive committee, that is a person who I would hold in strong suspect. And that's the International Crisis Group. That's a shadowy NGO group with a budget of over $15 million a year in their bank, a bank by the Carnegie and Ford Foundations and the Gates Foundation. And that's someone we're supposed to believe is going to bring democracy to Egypt? No, it won't.
We're going to talk about that on the show.
Good. We look forward to listening to you coming up right now. The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert.